All right, beloved, let's plow deep here tonight. Everybody got a copy of our handout? Okay. Those that are listening online, sermon audio, they can get a copy on the link, the PDF link. All right, let's look in Revelation chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 7 here. Let me flip over there my Bible, my sword. Alright, let's, everybody have their place there, please say amen.
Amen.
Alright, guys, that sounds good. Alright, let's go ahead and look at verse 7. Again, you don't have to read out loud, just follow along in your Bible. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and I want you to watch this, and all green grass was burned up." Well, let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we have in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for these that are gathered inside of your house this evening, Lord. And Father, we lift up those that are not with us, Lord, for whatever reason it may be. Well, we know some are sick under the weather. But Father, we just ask now that you'll go with us in the furtherance of this study. And Lord, that you'll hide me behind the cross. Lord, put your words in my mouth and have me to teach, Father. And we'll praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, I've been waiting and waiting to teach this lesson. And I'm actually kind of bittersweet because it's finally arrived. Because it's sweet to know that we are heading forward in Revelation. Sweet to know what God is going to do with his people. But it's also bitter in knowing what's going to happen to the people that are here upon this earth during this time period. Also, this is somewhat, I would say, groundbreaking in its interpretation, but it falls 100% in line with the Scripture. Previous commentaries and commentators have thought the events of the first trumpet would be from lightning, maybe from a meteor shower. But a new analysis of Revelation, one thing I saw was from Brent Miller, Sr., as heard on the Prophecy Watchers program, and it's also in their December 2015 issue of the Prophecy Watcher magazine. Now, I can go ahead and tell y'all, if y'all haven't ever watched Prophecy Watchers, I would encourage you to. I know they come on channel, what is it, 16? On Fridays?
Friday
at 6:30. All right. So if you got a way to record it, I would encourage you to. There's some good thing. If you hear anything from L.A. Marzulli, that'll probably remind you a little bit of some of the things that I, the weird things that I've taught you. But having said all that, guys, remember one thing. Solomon himself told us there was nothing new under the sun. So whenever we read things and see things inside the Bible, it isn't that it necessarily new. It may be new to us, but it's always been there. The thing about it is, guys, that our knowledge and our understanding has increased. So anyway. And again, remember one other thing. I kind of mentioned it this morning. Remember the grape in the microwave. We created plasma, the fourth state of matter, which is basically a liquid, gaseous, viscous fire. And you think on that because plasma's going to come back to our study. So let's kind of forward here and let's try to see what we're talking about here. First of all, let's look back in verse 7. It says, "The first angel sounded." All right? Now, the Greek wording for first here implies that this angel is the first in order. It actually comes from the Greek word, I think it's protokos. And that's basically where... Have you ever heard of the word prototype? This is a prototype model. Well, the prototype means it's the first of many. So this is the first one that we make, but here it's not the first one that was made. This ain't saying this is the first angel that was ever created. This is saying it's the first of what? The seven angels. So these are the seven angels that stand before God's throne, and this is the first one. So what does he do? He takes his trumpet up. So he sounds. So as he sounds in heaven, notice the next point. "And there followed." It means, God, that after the angel in heaven blew the trumpet, then basically, "and there followed," is basically a way of saying, then this is what happened. That's basically what it means. It's not that hard. So what happened? What did follow? Well, before we get too far, Let me insert this information here, if you will, just for a moment. Turn back to Revelation chapter 6. I want to show you something here, because this is going to go hand in hand with it. And Daddy, if I can ask you, sir, can you please give me some water, please? Thank you. So in Revelation chapter 6, I want to cover verse 12 and 13. Thank you, sir. Now, this is from lesson 82. We covered this back in lesson 82, so this is almost, well, this is 11 lessons previously, so we can go over this in our mind. So what I'm calling this, guys, I'm calling this the loveless theory. Because if I'm wrong, I don't want anybody else to get blamed. But anyway, here's what it is. All right, so in verse 12 and 13 of chapter 6, this is what it says. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Thank you. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig when she is shaken of a mighty wind. All right. Now, if someone were to ask me if the sun could dim on its own, apart from a solar eclipse, I'm going to make this represent the sun. I would tell them there is a way the sun could dim naturally, but it would not occur naturally. It has to occur supernaturally. Now, I am an amateur astronomer, and the only time I have ever in my whole life noticed that the sun dimmed, and God, you can see this sometimes with your naked eye, is sometimes there will be a sunspot, one sunspot so big, it will actually darken the sun somewhat. These sunspots are electromagnetic storms on the sun. They appear to us as spots, and we call them sunspots. And some sunspots expand and contract. That means they get big and they shrink as they move across the surface of the sun, with the size ranging anywhere from 10 miles to 100,000 miles in diameter. Sometimes, God, these things are huge. The larger variety are visible from Earth without the aid of a telescope. Having said that, let me educate you just a little bit about sunspots. Sunspots usually occur in cycles of 11 years normally. And the spots last anywhere from a day or at the most sometimes for a month. So from 1 to 30 days. Right now, we are in solar cycle 24, which is the 24th solar cycle since 1755, when extensive recording of solar sunspot activity began. Now, this cycle began on January 4, 2008. But there was a minimal activity until early 2010. It is on track to be the solar cycle with the lowest recorded sunspot activity since accurate records began in 1750. Now listen, if it continues for the average 11 years, it should end somewhere in 2018. A year ago, on October 29, 2014, PBS NewsHour published an article, and they said, there's a giant spot on the sun and it's acting weird. The article said, and of course I quoted a lot more to you back then, but I cut out the major points I wanted to make tonight. It said, it is the largest spot the sun has harbored in 24 years. But while most erupting sunspots lob chunks of plasma outward, in events called coronal mass ejection, or CMEs, this one is keeping its plasma close to the surface. Now, when you think of a coronal mass ejection, God, what I want you to think of is either one or two things. Probably, I'll think about it. Think about when you sneeze. When you sneeze, now again, remember, don't ever hold your nose and close your mouth and sneeze. That force of air is coming out of your nose. I forgot what the mileage is, but it's fast. It's blowing your snot and boogers and germs all over the place. That's why they tell you when you sneeze or cough, cover your mouth, cover your nose. So anyway, I want you to think about sneezing. I want you to think about the sun sneezing. So when there's a coronal mass ejection, let's say that white label is a sunspot. When that sunspot gets there, the sun will sneeze. It'll just shoot out a huge glob of force and plasma. Remember, plasma is essentially gaseous, viscous, liquid fire. Basically what this is. So when the sun does that, it shoots this stuff out. Now sometimes it's not that big. Sometimes it's huge. But we'll get more to that in just a minute. Releasing this pent-up energy typically takes two forms. One, there's a solar flare. Now solar flares travel real fast. But a coronal mass ejection, while it shoots out fast, it goes slower than a solar flare will. The key to what makes the behavior here is unusual. A coronal mass ejection is made up of globs of gas and plasma ejected from the sun's outer atmosphere, consisting of charged particles and magnetic field. A solar flare is a burst of X-rays and energy, typically smaller and shorter lasting than a CME. And rather than being launched out into space, it's caused by material being accelerated back into the sun. So when the flare comes up, what it's doing is the flare basically is acting like a big old, making like a U-turn. It shoots out of the sun and then it comes back around into the sun. But when those solar flares go out, sometimes some of the material doesn't shoot back to the sun. Some of it comes out towards us. This latest sunspot, even there now, is producing a lot of flares. Really, really big one. But hardly any coronal mass ejections. And that's what's so weird about it. Guys, what I'm telling you is that astronomers are all standing around scratching their head. Because in the years since the 1750s, they've never seen this before. Now, if Jesus talked about signs and wonders in the heavens, this is a sign and it is a wonder. Because scientists, astronomers they're wondering, why is this thing happening like it is? They don't understand. There's no scientific explanation of why it's not doing like they normally do. Michael Hess, director of NASA's Goddard Heliophysics Science Division, what a name. He says, I can't remember ever seeing a sunspot producing so many solar flares and so few CMEs. It wants to get rid of this energy, but we don't understand why it does it through a flare and not a CME. We don't know when the eruptions will occur, and we don't know what they will look like. And we have no clue as to whether it will produce a flare or a CME. They said what scientists dread to say, we simply don't understand this. That's right. Now, at the time when we was in lesson 82, I told you that when we get to the first trumpet, you will learn about CME, coronal mass ejection, which, looking at Scripture, there seems to be a possibility that this type of event is what John was looking at. But more on that when we get to chapter 8. But please note that CMEs are closely connected to sunspot activity. So, when we talked about the sixth seal in chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, I was telling you what I thought about if the sun could darken. And I said, yeah, I think I know what might happen. That's what I call the Loveless Theory. I think that what's going to happen, because remember, the sun is going around the earth. Make sure I get it right here. Rising in the east, set in the west. Okay, so the sun's moving around the earth this way. The earth is not spinning. It's not, let's see. What's the way? Direction of the earth. Okay, it's not spinning, and it's not orbiting the sun. That's not what the Bible teaches. The sun is going around the earth. So as the sun's going around the earth, and by the way, the sun does spin on its axis. So as the sun is going around the earth, what begins to happen on the time, on the day when the sixth seal breaks open, I think, is that you're going to see sunspots start popping up all over the sun. And as it spins around, it's going to start getting darker and darker and darker and darker, and suddenly the whole sun is going to be covered, I believe, with sunspots. Now, sunspots are, as we said, electromagnetic storm. They appear to our eye as black. But when you look at it in the color spectrum, they actually appear red, deep, dark red. So, this is not going to be a solar eclipse. No, no, no. This is, I believe, going to be sunspots covering the entire sun. And at that point, I also think on the side of the earth, where it's nighttime, in the sixth seal, the moon's going to be over here. It's going to be a full moon. So all of a sudden, in the daytime, it's going to turn black, just like it was a solar eclipse. After that happens, the red color is going to be bouncing off of the moon. So when the Bible says that the sun will turn to blackness, then the moon turns to blood, to the color of blood, that's what's going to happen. It's unscheduled. But now, when that happens, the sun's going to hiccup. And so you're going to have this blast of energy coming out, and that's going to pressure. It's going to be a pressure wave. It's an electromagnetic pulse. When that pressure wave moves forward, it's going to move debris, like the satellites and all the junk around our Earth that we put up there, and any rocks or any bits of asteroids or whatever, that thing's going to fling all this debris. And remember, it's going to be dark all over the whole world. And so as this pressure wave of this pulse comes forward, remember, falling stars, the lights in the heaven, it's going to be pushed from the second heaven into what? The first heaven. And as it enters into the first heaven, it's going to start to burn up. And that's going to be the falling stars, the points of light falling in the first heaven. Everybody on the same page? All right, so that is an unscheduled meteor shower, quote unquote. And so you've got the moon over here red. You've got the sun over here in darkness. And now you've got the space junk debris falling all over the earth. So that's going to be the end of the sixth seal. The next seal that's broken open is the seventh seal. There's silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. Now, guys, I think that all this is going to happen wham, wham, wham. Because what is closely connected to sunspot activity? A coronal mass ejection. If a sunspot is expected to produce a CME, scientists, astronomers are telling us that this big, humongous solar sunspot is not producing a CME. Imagine what if the whole sun was covered with sunspot. Then astronomically, it should produce what? A humongous CME, coronal mass ejection. Now, so CMEs being connected with sunspot activity, guys, to me, fits hand in hand with this idea of a CME being blasted towards the earth. Please understand, I am not merely looking for a natural explanation here, but I am saying that this sounds like what God is going to do. Consider this, God. And when I tell you this, you might think I'm a little conspiratorially minded. But this is fact, guys. When I, as your pastor, am giving you this information, whether it's history, whether it's politics, current events, especially Bible information, I'm giving you Bible understanding and truth as I know it, and facts. So that's the last thing I want to do is throw out some hearsay, okay? But I want you to think real hard about what I'm about to share with you here. Consider that on July 23rd, 2012, who remembers what you were doing July 23rd, 2012? I doubt any of us do. Okay, David says he does. Okay. Uh-huh, okay. Well, what an anniversary that was. Now, I want you to think about this, guys. Between Earth and the sun, there are 93 million miles. Light takes 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth. In other words, if the sun blew up, guys, we wouldn't know about it until 8 minutes. Okay? Because we would be seeing the past. So, now let me interject this in here. This ain't in my notes, but you need to understand this. According to science textbook, we are told that the reason we have summer, winter, spring, fall is because the earth goes around the sun. And here it would be, let's say, winter. And then as the earth moves around the sun, here it'll be spring. And then over here it'll be summer. And then over here it'll be fall. And then, what, you know, that's what they say. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the light is in charge of the time and season. So now, if we're stationary and the sun is the thing going around, how do we have our season? Don't think about the sun doing this right here. The same way, all the time, in the same area. No, no, no. I want you to think about a slinky. And stretch that slinky out, and I'll put a ball on that slinky. And what's that ball, if it could stay there, what would it do? It would go around, right? And what would it do? It would go down. Now, if it gets down to the bottom, let's flip it upside down. And what would it do? It would still keep going down, right? But let's flip it back, and what would it do? Well, it would still... Let's reverse gravity, and we'll make it go back up. Okay, there. Now, all right, so here's what actually happened. There's a star. I can't remember what constellation it's in. The star is called Algol. Not Al Gore. It's Algol. And what Algol is, it's called a binary star. You say, what's that? A binary star is you've got a star and another star orbiting a star. As weird as that sounds, but here's the thing. Algol blinks. And what they found out by telescopes and by astronomy is that the star orbiting this star, it doesn't just do this. It actually goes, it moves up and it moves down. And it comes back up and it goes back down. So it's not just going around in a circle. It's moving up and down. You see, you got that? All right, so this is how, when we say that the earth is geocentric, and the sun moves around the earth biblically, then the way we get our seasons, God, if the sun's up here and it moves down and it goes down to the bottom and then it comes back up, that's actually what's happening biblically. It goes back up, it goes down, and then, you see? Now here's what happened. On July 23rd, 2012, there was a CME blast from the sun. And it missed the earth by 1 week. You say, what do you mean? This is what I mean, guys. If the sun had been backed up, in other words, if the earth had been right across from the sun that week, a week earlier, and the CME sneezed, we wouldn't be here. It would have fried everything. That CME blast of liquid fire coming to the earth, God, It would have fried the whole earth. It was huge. Astronomers called it a Carrington-class event. You say, what's that? In 1859, God, there was such an event that happened. But the CME was so large, it actually went over the earth. But the thing that hit us was the shockwave of the electromagnetic pulse, if you will. And when it did, God, it shut down almost all of the telegraph wires all over the whole United States. Europe was affected. We were. Everything, it went out of sync. But the thing about it was, guys, we didn't have electronics except for telegraph wire. They said, if that happens, the astronomers say, when that happens, it will set us back, technologically speaking, guys, into the 1700s. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying your cell phone, they're not going to work. Computers, electricity, we have three power grids in America. The East Coast, the West Coast, and Texas. If anything like this happens, and just the shockwave of electromagnetic storm hits, guys, the whole power grid is going to be out. And within a week, you're going to have looting and rampaging and pillaging and people shooting and gangs and everything. Because the stores will be out of food, guys, it's going to be chaos. But that's not what we're dealing with here. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So did the government get on the TV and tell everybody what we just missed on July 23rd, 2012? That we just missed being roasted a week? Had it been a week earlier, we would be dead? No. When did this come out? It came out, guys, in March 2014. Nobody knew about this except NASA and some higher heads of state. Nobody knew about this for a year and a half. And you've got morons out there trusting what the government says? God, we need to wake up. I'm not being political here. I'm telling you the truth. This thing could have wiped out civilization as we know it. And nobody knew about it. I didn't even know about it. And I try to keep up with astronomy. Not astrology. I don't go in for the stars predicting your future. That don't happen. But nobody knew about it for a year and a half, roughly. Wow. Go, Big Brother. So when we see the governments of the world creating seed vaults and making underground cities, not bunkers, they ain't interested in saving a handful of people. They're interested in saving the whole head of government, the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. They're preparing for continuity in the event of a disaster. But you and I and the rest of the American public out here are running around like everything's okay. And nobody's worrying about nothing generally. For a lot of people, they're going to be unprepared because they're trusting the government more than they are God and His Word. So when word of the solar superstorm of 2012 was announced in March 2014, the website thetruthwinds.com said most people have absolutely no idea that the earth barely missed being fried by a massive EMP/CME burst from the sun in 2012, then in 2013, and just last month. Wow. My, my. All right. Now, by the way, if whenever the Carrington event happens of the magnitude of 1859, when it happens again, it's going to tear a chunk out of the infrastructure of the world, costing $2.6 trillion out of the global economy when it happens. It's not if it's going to happen, because what did I just tell you? I told you guys there's a sunspot on the sun that's huge, and it's dimmed the sun. And the astronomers don't know what it's going to do. Is it going to burp? Is it going to sneeze? What's it going to do? But when it does, it's going to be huge. Now, you take away your kid's cell phone, your smartphone, computer, Facebook for one day, and they walk around like a zombie. What if something like this happens, God? You're going to have people that are going to be torn apart in their mind. They're going to become psychopaths because they can't get on Twitter. They can't get on Facebook. They can't check their email. They can't go on eBay. I mean, guys, we've got to think about this. God, we are looking at an event that could happen and hit our country before the rapture happens. We don't know, guys. So if Uncle Sam ain't going to take care of you, you trust in what the Word of God says and use common sense. That's another reason, guys, why we thank God we have a church family. That's why we need to know where each person lives. So in the event something like that were to happen, we could check up on each other and make sure we're okay. And if need be, we band together and protect one another because we're family. All right, so let's move forward with the devastating effects of the first trumpet. On the surface of the sun... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm not done with that last point yet. I'm sorry. I'm getting there. Okay. To many, that solar superstorm of 2012 looked like a near miss, but what we have to remember is that God is in control. He had already planned for such an event to happen in eternity past. It may have seemed like coincidence that Earth didn't get blasted, but in looking at this from a spiritual viewpoint, it seems, why did this happen? God programmed this to happen for what reason? To get man's attention. Can we say signs in the heaven? All right, so now, let's look now at the first trumpet. So let's think about what's happening. On the surface of the sun, we have a cool 10,000 degrees area of fire. Solar EMPs explode, unleashing tons of flame into space. The CME, as the sun turns on its axis, orbiting the Earth as it nears the area of the Western Hemisphere, the pre-programmed CME now explodes into space. As an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse shockwave, now hurtles towards the Earth, which will cause the electric grid to fail. While a solar flare would speed toward the Earth, the CME plasma, the viscous liquidy fire, hurtles through space, 93 million miles towards the Earth, just behind the shockwave. And suddenly on the Earth, what happens? Let's look back at chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail. Notice H-A-I-L. That ain't hail. That's H-A-I-L. That's huge blocks of ice, chunks of ice. Hailstone. Where does this come from? All right, now guys, think about this. Now I want you to look at, on your paper, on your handout, the fourth bottom right-hand picture. Now, to me, I know I got it in color up here, but maybe one day we'll get a color printer up here. But anyway, that white blob right there, that's supposed to be the sun. and there's this shockwave. There's the CME burst, and there's the EMP shockwave right there. And there's the earth surrounded by the magnetic field that generally protects us from solar wind. So the shockwave of this EMP first encounters this magnetic field. We call it the magnetosphere around the earth. It protects earth from solar winds and smaller CME blasts from the sun. But on this day, the force of the EMP is frankly too much for the magnetosphere and the earth defenses. And now they begin to fail to stem the tide of the onrushing force from the sun. Soon, wherever the EMP hit, primarily by our understanding, mainly in North, Central, and South America, electronics will fail. Any resurrected power grids will be set on fire. As the outer defenses of the magnetosphere are breached, and as the EMP plunges the exposed land masses again into 18th century technology, onward would come the pressure wave in front of the CME. This wave of pressure first will hit the exposed stratosphere, and all the moisture up there is going to what? Be exposed to negative 150 degrees temperature from where? Outer space. And what's going to happen? That temperature, y'all seen the day after tomorrow when that vortex of that super cooled air comes down and it freezes everything? Well, that's basically what you got to think about. This super cooled air, negative 150 degrees from outer space. The magnetosphere is pushed back by the EMP blast. Now you have nothing protecting us from the oncoming temperature from outer space coming down. And so as this pressure wave comes down and it's pushing moisture down, the temperature of negative 150 degrees hits the atmosphere in the stratosphere. And what happened? Everything, all the moisture turns into ice. And as ice begins to fall, what happens? All the moisture there begins to stick to it and freeze. And now what happens as your little pieces of ice, you know, think about, sleet. Small as it is, as it comes down, the moisture begins to get bigger and bigger and it begins to snowball inside. And now suddenly, instead of going back up due to the heat rising from the earth, gravity will take over, and now these hailstones will begin to fall. But that's not all. We're not done. What's the next point? Hail and fire. Now behind that, you have the EMP wave clearing out now the magnetosphere. Downward it comes into the stratosphere. The pressure wave and the temperature, there comes the hail falling down on the unsuspecting heads of the people. And now suddenly behind that, here comes the plasma from the sun. It's traveled 93 million miles and it's now beginning to come down. It hits into the earth atmosphere and this liquid fire, this plasma, now will begin to break up as it rains fire. So you have hailstones falling. And now you have fire falling. But that's just the first parts of the CME blast of this plasma coming down. You've still got more sheets of this liquid fire, waves, if you will, of this liquid fire coming now into the atmosphere. Now what's going to happen? Well, it goes through the stratosphere into the troposphere. And as it now, this wave of fire hits the troposphere, what is in the troposphere? Airplanes. What's the next point? Hail and fire, what? Mingled with blood. At any given day, guys, over just the United States, you have anywhere from 50 to 60,000 airplanes in the sky. Commercial lines, private airplanes, you name it. And almost every one of these airplanes is made out of what? Aluminum. Now this plasma is how much, how hot? It was about 10,000 degrees on the sun. Now it's come through outer space, it's cooled down a little bit to about 8,000, 6,000 degrees. Aluminum melts, guys, at 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit. You've got a wave of liquid fire coming through the stratosphere at about, let's say, 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. What happens to your airplane? It evaporates. It's gone. The people in there, they are incinerated. But God is going to do a miracle. Because what did all these martyrs cry out for God to do in the fifth seal? Avenge our blood. And so people on the earth, they're going to be down there walking around. Hailstones are going to fall. They're going to feel this shockwave pressure come. All the electronics are going to fail. Everything's going to start falling. Fire's going to start raining down. And then drops of blood are going to start hitting them. Why? Because all these people traveling in all these planes, their planes have been incinerated. Their bodies now have exploded by the fire. And God's going to preserve that blood and send it beyond that shockwave of that liquid fire. Otherwise, the blood would evaporate. But the Bible here tells us that fire will be mingled with blood. So as this shockwave of this liquid fire plasma coming from the sun hits into the stratosphere, burns up all of these airplanes, now here comes the blood. That makes sense? But where is it going to fall? What's it going to do? We ain't even got to the end of it yet. All right, so now, fire and hail demolish part of the earth below. The plasma and its liquid fire each day drops here and there as drops of blood hit the earth also. Imagine the chaos upon the earth as step by step this happened. Oliver B. Green said, "Let your imagination run completely wild. Look up into the sky. Can you imagine blazes of fire, streams of blood, great chunks of ice falling down upon the earth? Can you imagine all the trees blazing, burning, going up in smoke, and the grass being burned to a crisp? People will be screaming, running, begging, falling over each other. The hail will beat upon their head. They will be splattered with blood. And may I add, they will be burned alive." Now what happens? The hail falls. The fire falls, mingled with blood. And what does the Bible say next? It says, "And they were cast upon the earth." Now, we observe that the hail, the fire, and the blood fall upon the earth. Now that leads many people to wonder, which part of the earth is going to receive the fierceness of God's wrath? D.A. Waite says, "We do not know where that's going to hit, whether in the United States of America, in Russia or China or wherever." End quote. But I think we can know, and it is known by looking at the next two parts of this verse. Number one, the third. And number two, all green grass. Notice what he said. "And the third part of the trees was burnt up." Now, if this is a CME, then it would logically strike in an area situated close by. And here in the scripture, it tells us this event is going to burn up what? One third of the trees. Of the trees, mind you. That begs the question, as we asked before, which part of the earth will be struck? Many have doubted where. But I'll tell you right now, when I was in the third, fourth, and fifth grade, when Lowe's used to be over there near the mall, near Phelps or JCPenney or whatever. That's how long ago it was. There was a videotapes called "Why We Fight." And it's about World War II. Now, how many of you watched "It's a Wonderful Life" this past Christmas? Anybody? All right, a couple of you did. Well, the guy that made that film, his name was Frank Capra. And Frank Capra made this film right here. And this is a film, guys, that was made in the 1940s, 1942, I believe. And it was put out by the United States government to be watched by members of our military going to fight World War II. When I read that, guys, in preparation for this study, I didn't have to read about Mr. Morris's interpretation. Because when I read that one third of the trees, my mind went back to when I was about 5 years old. Or six or seven or whatever I was. And I remember hearing this. So maybe this is one reason why I've been such a history nerd for all these years. Now what I want you to do, guys, I want you to pay close attention and see what this says. What it is the government trying to tell the soldier boys what Hitler was wanting to do.
"I'm doing and conquer all of the world of the 20th. set up at Munich was an institute devoted to the little-known science of geopolitics, vaguely defined as the military control of space. Germany's leading geopolitician, a former general, Karl Haushofer, was head man. Here was gathered together more information about your hometown than you yourself know. To the German geopolitician, the world is not made up of men and women and children who live and love and dream of better things. It is made up of only two elements, labor and raw materials. The geopolitician's job was to transform Hitler's ambition to control these elements into cold, hard reality. On their map, our planet is neatly divided into land and water.
You can see scenes of this in your handout, too.
Water forms three-quarters of the Earth's surface. Land, only one-quarter. And in that one-quarter of the Earth's surface lies the world's wealth, all its natural resources.
When you think about this, guys, the natural resources in the land, I'm going to bring out a couple of things about this in just a moment. I mean, you think about the wealth America has. All of the wheat, there's the grain. Think about the grass. That's the grass right there that they're trying to harvest.
And the world's manpower. Control the land and you control the world. That was Hitler's theory. This all-important land, the geopoliticians now break up into two areas. One, the Western Hemisphere, which, together with Australia and all the islands of the world, including Japan, comprises one-third of the land area.
One-third?
The other area, which consists of Europe, Asia, and Africa, makes up the other two-thirds. This supercontinent, which they call the World Island, is not only twice as large as the rest of the land area.
There again, you see it right there.
But also includes 7/8 of the world's population.
Consider that too.
The heart of this world island comprises Eastern Europe and most of Asia. This they call the Heartland, which just about coincides with the old empire of Genghis Khan. Hitler's step-by-step plan for world conquest can be summarized this way. Conquer Eastern Europe. And
you
dominate the Heartland.
You'll notice how close he came to that.
Conquer the Heartland, and you dominate the World Island. Conquer the World Island, and you dominate the world. That was a dream in Hitler's mind.
All right. Now, guys, that's from the 1940s. They said that North, Central, South America, along with the islands, comprised one-third of the Earth's surface of the land. Now, remember what we told you in the sixth seal. The Earth is literally going to be turned upside down. So instead of the sun rising in the east, setting in the west, it's going to what? It's going to rise in the west and set in the east, according to us. So, if we notice here, the world, then the sun would be turning this way now to the world, right? The CME blast begins to come out. The earth, of course, is tilted 23.5 degrees. The CME blast of this liquid fire has already rained down hail, fire, liquid fire, and blood over all this area of the earth. So if we're looking at one-third of the trees being burned, this liquid fire must go where? North America, Central America, South America. The United States, or the North American Union, is now fried. Central America, Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, all of these areas, guys, is gone. Why? Remember the word, all green grass. You've seen patches of grass on fire before, right? But this says, and what? Look at verse 7. And the third part of trees would burn up, and that "and" connects what? All green grass being burnt with what? The one third of the trees. Where is the one third of the trees connected to? It's got to be connected to what? One third of the land mass. So as the sun goes around and this liquid fire rains down on the Americas, it then goes around and hits Hawaii. Hawaii's gone now. The liquid fire has killed everybody there. And it's burned all the trees, all the palm trees, all the beautiful trees, all the grass is gone. All the islands, Easter Island, all the Philippines, Australia, good night, mate. It's all gone. The Philippines, the Indonesia, all of it, guys, is burned. Japan, incinerated, gone. As it goes around, Madagascar, gone. And perhaps because they linked in all the islands of the world in one third, because if you only count North, Central, and South America, that's 28%. You got to have 33%, roughly one third. So if you throw in the other island there, of Great Britain, there might be another little burp come out there. Scary, isn't it? Something to think about. Now, I want you to think about this. For one, what we just saw on there, Hitler's plan, German, we need to thank God for our World War II veteran and what they did. And they stood for our country and our freedom. They protected us from that madman over in Europe. Now, after World War II, now think about this. It said one third of the trees burn up, right? Well, think about this. The United States supplied many things to the rest of the world, and we still do. Consider our agriculture export reached an all-time high of $149.5 billion in 2014. That was up 31% from 2013. And during that year, guys, that year alone, we shipped our country 2,562 metric tons of fruit alone. That's up 3%. From 2013, you said, what's a metric ton? One metric ton is equal to 2,204.62 pounds. Times that by 2,562. That's huge. And all of that's fruit. Where did the majority of that fruit come from? Trees. And the Bible says one third of the trees are going to be burned. Think of the banana trees in Hawaii. Think of the banana trees in Central America. Think of the produce that's produced in South America, in Brazil. Look at how much of your fruit comes from Mexico, Central and South America, all those regions. Not to mention the stuff we get from Hawaii, from the Dole brothers after they took over the kingdom of Hawaii and all that. Look at all the produce from just trees we get. Think of the trees you have in your yard and right around here in our county. The peach trees down in South Carolina. Guys, imagine if all those trees are gone. Now, one other thing I didn't put in my note. What do trees also produce for us? What? Say it out loud where people can hear you. Okay, good. I can't hear y'all. I hear him. Oxygen, right. They take in carbon dioxide that we breathe out, and they take in that, and they put out oxygen. Now, you cut down or you burn up one third of the tree. Think about that. Burning. That's going to produce what? Smoke. It's going to cause massive air pollution. And if you've got one third of the trees gone, you're also going to have what? One third less oxygen to breathe in the world. And no, I didn't read that in any commentary. That's just common scientific understanding. But not only that, it says all the green grass is going to burn, but I'm not done yet. A lot of apples and pears and such. So with the effects, remember, of the third seal, the famine, and the sixth seal, where the world turned upside down literally, which means the growing seasons would change due to the sun rising in the west and setting in the east. So the effects of the new climate, the agricultural output of the nation, will be vastly changed. So the seed vaults would no doubt be put into a limited use, and the new crop just coming up from these endeavors would suddenly in these regions be totally destroyed. That means if the North American Union, Central American Union, and South American Union exported anything near our level from 2013 to 2015, the world, guys, is going to be hurt very, very, very badly. So when I learned that as a boy, I learned where one-third of the world was and where does one-third of the world coincide with, again, North, Central, and South America. So when the Bible says one-third of the trees is burned up, that gives us a clue. But the main understanding that points to this whole conclusion, guys, is, I think, was found in the last point where it says, and all green grass was burned up. Why? If you're going to burn up all the grass, what do you got to have? You got to have fire that's going to be able to reach everywhere and everything. The only way you can get that, besides supernaturally God doing it, is Him doing it through a CME burst, which is going to put this liquid plasma fire on the earth from the sun. And that liquid fire is going to hit and it's going to go everywhere. It's going to go in the mountains, it's going to go on the plains, it's going to go all over the place. So if all the green grass is going to be burnt, it means also everything else in his path is going to be burnt. The homes, the houses, the people, the animals, everything. The infrastructure, the cars, the trains, the planes, everything. Everything is going to be burnt up. The fact that the Bible tells us that all the green grass is going to be burned up shows us that all the land in the one-third of the area is going to be affected. And guys, to me that seems absolutely logical because many theologians have said they never see the United States in prophecy. If you look in Revelation alone, you know what you're going to see through study? You'll see of Ethiopia. You'll see of Russia. You'll see China. You'll see Europe. You'll see Israel, of course. But you never, ever see the United States. You never see the Americas mentioned. Why? To my common little pea brain, I think the reason we're not going to see America is because this whole Western Hemisphere is burned to a crisp. And they're gone. You stop and let that sink in. If that fire were to kill everybody there, to us today, you would have approximately 800 million plus people dead in a matter of a day. 800 million. So guys, you don't want to be left behind. If you think about the green grass, I started thinking about the grass. I talked about the fruit trees. I said, what about the grass? America, just America. I didn't look at South America, Mexico, Central America, Brazil, anything like that. I just looked at America. We contribute 75% of the world's alfalfa hay. The horses, cows, and whatnot. Okay? And wheat and other grasses to the world's market. If the current output will be similar during the tribulation, again, there's going to be severe consequences around the whole world. We exported 17,901 metric tons of wheat in 2014, and also 4.5 million tons of hay was exported in 2014. If that export is just America, and then you couple in Central America and South America, guys, the whole world over there in Europe and Asia, the hay is going to fall down because they're not going to have any export coming from our region. And what is that going to do to the cows over there? What's that going to do to the horses? They're going to start starving to death. They're going to need that. So you've got the grass, all of the grass burnt in America, in the Americas. All of, one-third of the trees are gone. And by my conclusion, when you look at this, it plainly shows you what one-third of the world is. It's us. Central America, South America, and the islands. That's why, guys, I told you, this is going to be something like you've never seen or heard taught on Revelation before. And it's not because of Craig Lovelace. It's because of us studying the Word of God and how God has allowed your pastor to see history and other different things, agriculture, and bring these things together. Not just me, but Brent Miller, I learned from him and different things and weave all these things together. And God, what we're seeing is God is going to pour out his sucker punch, so to speak, this whole world into submission to wake them up. And if that don't wake people up, I don't know what will. But even when they see all these things, guys, it won't be the end. They're still going to reject God. My, my. So I call this, guys, the America's funeral pyre. It's all going to be burned up, by my understanding. I hope I'm wrong. But to me, guys, everything I've looked at over these past 4 weeks in this study about this, that's what I see, guys. Now more than ever, people need to get saved, come to know Jesus as their Savior. If this is our economic, political, and legal future coming up, and who knows when, I tell you what, I would want to be 100% sure that I'm saved, and as Rex used to say, heaven bound with the hammer down. So guys, I tell you what, if that ain't all, next week we're going to look at the second trumpet. But what I want you to do is I want you to start looking at other meanings of the word cast. Because it might not mean what we think it means. Something, a mountain that burns, will be cast into the sea, and one third of the ocean is going to turn to blood. That's coming next week. So, hang on to your seats, guys. We're not done yet. Second trumpet judgment coming up next Sunday night, Lord willing. And also part two of our study of where did the devil come from in Q&A. So with that said, let's all bow our heads and we'll close our eyes.